local artists, a live and silent auction, and more, and takes place at Holocene. The Gifford Pinchot Task Force mission is to protect and sustain the Gifford Pinchot National Forest and neighboring communities through conservation, science, and advocacy. Again, that's Restoring Volcano Country, a fundraising event for the Gifford Pinchot Task Force on Thursday, October 10th, 5:30 p.m. at Holocene, 1001 Southeast Morrison Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Join us for our monthly movie event, KBOO at the Clinton. This month, on October 9th, KBOO will host a screening of The U.S. vs. John Lennon, a 2006 documentary film about John Lennon and his transformation from Beatle to anti-war activist and the repression he faced because of his political activities. That's KBOO at the Clinton with The U.S. vs. John Lennon on Thursday, October 9th at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information is available at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
Welcome to a special membership drive edition of Words and Pictures. I'm your host, S.W. Conser, and today we are live in the studio with the author and artists behind the book Clusters and Your Economy, Joe Courtwright, Mike Russell, and Adrian Wallace. Welcome to Words and Pictures.
Hi, great to be here.
Thank you.
So this is a book about economics. And I can feel people's eyes glazing over at this moment. Economics has been saddled with the dismal science label for about a decade, or actually about a century and a half. But this book like really fascinated me. It takes the concept of the collaborative group or the industry that sort of springs up out of a group of people, like-minded people, a group of people who get together, and shows how it's got an outsized influence on how successful economies work.
Yeah, for a while we've been talking about this thing called clusters, which is basically how businesses and workers and innovation thrive when there are a bunch of people in the same place doing similar and related things. So success isn't the lonely entrepreneur. It's usually embedded in a bigger community of actors, and that includes entrepreneurs, it includes workers, and includes people in the community, including customers who push businesses to do things in new and different ways and try new products.
Well, Joe, you've been studying this whole concept of clusters. You're based in Portland. You have a Impressa. Let's see, it's Impressa Consulting is your group that you. So you do a lot of work overseas in Europe, working with other folks in various fields. And you decided that what you wanted to do. Talk about the genesis of this project. You called up Mike Russell, who does comics, has done a number of comics for the Oregonian, nonfiction stuff, and Adrian Wallace, and you said this is a project that I want to do to get across this concept to. It's not just kids or students, but government ministers.
Yeah, well, yeah, I write a lot of dry, boring, 40-page white papers that, frankly, almost nobody reads. And what we wanted to try and do, my Danish co-author and I, is put it in a form that actual human beings would have some patience for. And I'm a longtime reader and a big fan of Mike's work, Culture Pulp. And I decided I'd just give him a call and see if he would be up for this crazy idea of trying to translate this economic idea into a comic book.
Yeah, he was being very self-effacing. He had this basically, I used to do this comic called Culture Pulp for the Oregonian that was a nonfiction comic. And you read it, and then you cold called me. You had this great email where you basically said, I want to try and make this very exciting and digestible for people so I can explain what I do. And then we met and had a nice conversation, and you talked about how this could be a great tool. It was sounded like a really interesting challenge to make interesting, you know, to make it into interesting comics. But the thing you said that I thought really resonated with me was, so imagine you have a big white paper and you hand someone a white paper, a politician say, and then you put the comic on top of it that sums up the white paper and orients you to the white paper, and they're going to have a much better time reading the white paper if they read the comic first. And I thought that was a really interesting challenge. And then of course we were looking for an artist, and the first person I thought of was Adrian, because Adrian Wallace here is the Portland's leading practitioner of sort of Belgian clean line Hergé style comics making, so it was a nice fit.
Well, yeah, actually we do have a few others, but yeah, sure. Yeah.
Well, you are that's right. We're going for an international look because there's a number of folks besides Joe here. That Lotta Lundkilde from Denmark is involved in the book, and so yeah, Adrian Wallace is a big fan of the Linea Claire style and practitioner of it, and that kind of gives it an international look. You know, I hope you'll indulge me a bit of personal history. I spent part of my childhood in Belgium, so I grew up on that style of comics, and the best example would probably be the Tintin comics by Hergé.
Oh, sure, yeah. Tintin's probably the best-known example, but I mean, you got a lot of other stuff, too, that has a similar style. And if you look back, you know, you can even see that sort of thing beginning in America with cartoonists like George McManus. But that's more like inside baseball.
So let's give an example of clusters that hits kind of close to home. Now, Mike, you were talking about how the comics industry has really ramped up in Portland. It used to be a New York, L.A. sort of thing. But nowadays we've, and thanks in part to events such as the Stumptown Comics Fest, which is now no longer with us, but we have groups of artists that, like Periscope Studios, Shared Space Studio, Tranquility Base here in town, mm-hmm. where normally solitary creators get together, influence each other, they pose for each other, you know, they write come up with ideas.
Yeah, I'm a member of a Periscope Studio, and what's interesting, I think this kind of, you could probably trace the start of this back to Dark Horse first self-publishing here, Mike Richardson's company, and it's out of, you know, in the Portland area. And then what happened is there are now three major international publishers here. There's a Top Shelf, Oni, and a Dark Horse are all based out of the Portland area. And so then you also have, of course, this town's also, as Steve Lieber once put it to me, this is one of the only major cities where a cartoonist can still afford to buy a house, although that may be less true than it used to be. But they, so a lot of cartoonists came here to be close to, you know, to be in the room, as it were, with the publishers, and all of a sudden you've got these people are all getting lonely at their desks, so they start forming shared spaces where they can all meet and share, you know, rent and supplies, and all of a sudden you've got a scene where people are talking to each other, and all of a sudden people are deciding to do books together. And then you've suddenly got this really thriving sort of scene. And also they go to parties together.
Yeah, I think of the term strange attractor, although that's, I'm sure, the wrong term for this. But every time that there would be a Stumptown Comics Fest, there'd be a special guest who'd show up at the festival and say, oh my gosh, this town is amazing. And the next year they'd be living here.
Right, no, that's happened so many times.
It's like a black hole of cartoons.
There was a big, I remember we all were witness to this in about 2005, like a whole bunch of web cartoonists from all over the country just suddenly started moving here en masse. And that was really interesting to watch. You know, like Dylan McConis and Bill Mudrin and all those guys all moved to town really around the same time. And part of it was because they were coming for festivals and seeing how the scene was thriving. And yeah, it was really interesting.
Well, I want to ask Joe more about what causes this phenomenon to happen, you know, besides just, you know, just the attraction of meeting your friends and things like that. But first, we want to give a couple of minutes to our friends out in Membership Central. So we'll be back in a couple of minutes to talk more with our guests. But first, Yes, my friends Will and Lynn would like to tell you how you can become a member of KBOO and get a copy of the book that we're talking about today. Hello, Will and Lynn. How's everything going out there?
Absolutely fine, SW. We are doing well out here. And we are a little cluster of people waiting to answer the phone there at 877-500-5266. Let Kim, Jeffrey, Christopher, Ross, Danny, and Joe have a little work to do. 877-500-5266. And this is a show about comics. I will tell you, you are not going to find this anywhere else. There's sometimes, I debate that on KBOO, but that is not one thing with this. There is no other radio show about comics artists. And we have some very fine examples of those right there in Studio 2 today with Mike Russell, Adrian Wallace, and Bill Mudrin, who is not here, but who has worked on this book, which you can get for a $60 minimum donation.
That's true. And what you're getting here with Conch's interview is you're getting an artist who's interested in the art of comic book world, who's doing an interview. Conch himself is an artist, and that's why this is such an in-depth and such a very interesting interview, because he's not an interviewer who's been assigned this and doesn't really know the subject. Conch knows the subject inside and out, as do the people he's talking to. And we're very, very fortunate to have people, creative folks like this, in this radio station. But we can't do it without you. We can't do it unless you pick up the phone, dial 877-500-5266. You'll be pledging your support to these great shows and keeping them on the air. And this is a unique radio station, certainly important it's unique. How many other radio stations invite you to come in and meet people, to get a tour of the station and see where all the magic and the action happens? And how many other places offer you interviews with fascinating and intriguing artists by fascinating and intriguing artists? KBOO, that's who. And so call us at 877-500-5266. And we want to thank all the people who volunteered here too to answer the phones and do everything to keep this amazing radio station going. It's at the heart of Portland, and I know you love this city. That's why you live here. That's why all these great artists move here. But dial 877-500-5266 and make it happen. Start your day with a really positive thing to do. Isn't that right, Lynn?
Absolutely. And we've got about a $300 goal for this show, which should be really easy to do with just a few phone calls. You can get yourself a copy of Clusters and Your Economy, an illustrated introduction, for a $60 minimum donation. I've seen this book. It's really fun, and it's beautifully done. Well worth it. It's a twofer. You get to belong to KBOO, and you get your own copy of Clusters and Your Economy, an illustrated introduction.
I think that sounds great.
I think so too. 877-500-5266 is the number to call, or come on down to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue and see all the faces made for radio, and take a little tour of the station, have a cup of coffee, and see where your hard-earned nickels, pennies, and dimes are going. Eh, Will?
Absorb the ambiance of
Absorb it, I tell you.
Absorb it, yes. Come on in to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. We're easy to find, just off Burnside. We've got a beautiful mural out front and a beautiful receptionist in the building. Her name is Zoe. She's got a little dog, Max, with her, and the terrific people. You can also donate online, of course, at kboo.fm. It's very easy, simple and easy. But the way we're asking you right now to do it is pick up the phone, dial 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-5266. It's a very important thing you'll do today, very simple thing you'll do today, and you'll be supporting your community, a vital thing to do today.
Absolutely. Right? It's the last few days of our membership drive, last sort of day and a half, really.
It's a short membership drive.
Short membership drive because you ask for it, so we're trying to accommodate. So one way to help us keep it short is for you to call right now, 877-500-5266, and I think we're going on back to SW Concert and Words and Pictures.
Back to the artists.
Thank you, Will and Lynn. And we are back. We are back. It's Words and Pictures. I'm your host, SW Conser. And I'm here live in the studio with the author and artists behind the book Clusters in Your Economy, Joe Courtwright, Mike Russell, and Adrian Wallace. And we were talking about, say, the comics industry, but there are so many other groups here in town, so many little industries here in town that have grown up from just basement or garage sort of hobby pursuits into something huge, like the brewing industry.
Certainly coffee roasting.
Right.
Yeah.
And, the beer industry sort of had a bit of a kickstart from the laws changing. You didn't used to be able to For decades and decades after Prohibition, you could not brew your own beer, and all of a sudden Oregon opened that up, and a few folks came together, and suddenly, you know, it became just out of the gate a huge thing.
Yeah, but and brewing is a great example because it didn't, you know, and I worked in the legislature at the time. It wasn't some legislator who thought that'd be a good idea. It was a bunch of hobbyist brewers who came to the legislature and said, "Hey, can you carve out a little exception that will let us take our hobby and turn it into a business?" And it really was a community of people here who did it. They, you know, tapped into the local marketplace, which is always an important part of this, and that sort of entrepreneurial spirit and the cooperative nature of it really led to the establishment and then in recent years the pretty rapid growth of that industry.
Well, it's interesting because part of the genesis of the comic was we were going to hand it out as a sort of party favor last year at a conference held in Copenhagen. That was the debut of the comic. It was a conference of cluster managers, people who are actually supposed to kind of keep an eye on the cluster and help nurture it. And there's a whole section in the back of the book where we sort of aimed at those cluster managers to go, here's how you should, you know, working with local lawmakers is important to create a good environment for clusters to thrive.
And in some cases, there's cases where the law works in strange ways. Like, for example, you have the California wine industry mentioned in the book, in Clusters in Your Economy. And the wine industry in California has sort of gotten out of hand in a way that the land, it was people originally who loved to do this sort of thing. And now it's a lot of sort of retired multimillionaires who take over this land, and the towns built up are going kind of crazy. But, you know, here in Oregon, we have the same amazing volcanic soil. And our chief engineer here at KBOO, by the way, grew up here in Oregon. And his sister has been running the Laurel Hood Vineyard since the early days of the Willamette Valley winemaking. You know, so her neighbors across the street are the Areths and the Adelsheims. I mean, these are the rock stars now of Northwest wine scene. But there's a time when no one would invest in this region. It didn't matter how great the soil was. It was just, you know, it didn't have that cachet. So it had to be, again, the hobbyists, the people who would lay down a few thousand dollars for a plot of land.
And then the local consumers who would buy a strange-looking, strange-tasting beer, or the local restaurateurs who would buy beer a keg at a time. And so it's the local community and consumers interacting with those entrepreneurs that oftentimes trigger the formation of these clusters.
I remember during one of the lunches, many lunches we had, when we'd kind of sort of bat ideas around for what to put in the book and create an outline, and you would give me these great summaries of the ideas that would form the foundation of the comic. You told me one time, though, about a study you were working on where you were actually using data to try and map out what the most creatively thriving places in a city were, and what was the criteria for that? It was kind of interesting.
Yeah, we're developing a set of what we call vibrancy indicators to sort of measure the level of activity that's taking place on the street in different neighborhoods around the country. But it's a very kind of data-driven way of discerning what you already know instinctively about the places that you live, where things are happening.
So, I think one of the indexes was like the number of mom and pop establishments a street.
Yeah, we count the number of locally owned businesses as opposed to franchise type businesses.
But my point was that creates a healthy environment for something like that to thrive.
Yeah. Well, one of the other points that's touched on in the book is that being close at hand, like here at KBOO during membership drive, there's this huge vibrancy that's going on. People can come into the building, by the way, during 9 to 5 hours and just hang out and have a cup of coffee, have a donut, that sort of thing. Meet the pledge people. And just being in the same room, it's just incredibly inspiring. You learn so much about what's going on with your community. There's music people, there's public affairs people. And I was reading a quote recently by the CEO of Yahoo, Marissa Meyer, and when she came in and she discouraged the practice of working from home, you know, telecommuting was supposed to be this great, huge thing in the digital age. But Marissa Meyer pointed out, people are more collaborative and innovative when they're physically together.
Oh, yeah. This is one of the things that working on the book with Joe really drove home for me, which was it just sort of codified something that I'd always suspected, which is it's still important to be in the room physically. I think a lot of young people particularly always think they can kind of control their careers from the internet. You know, if I just make it and post it, it'll be fine. Well, no, you still have to kind of go meet people and network, as it were.
And in the book, there's the 20-minute rule, which applies to Silicon Valley. Talk about that, Joe.
Yeah, well, most of the venture capital firms that fund the new high-tech startups are located in just a short stretch of road in the Silicon Valley. And while in theory you can wire money in the anywhere in the world in milliseconds, the process of negotiating deals and finding the exact company and working out the terms of the arrangement are very labor intensive. And it helps to be in a place where if you have to hold lots of meetings and have to have a lot of interaction, you can do that face to face and work that out. And that's one of the things that underpins a lot of what happens in clusters of every kind.
Well, we want to give people an opportunity to get a copy of this book, Clusters in Your Economy. And I think we have Will and Sam out there to tell people about the possibilities of becoming a member of KBOO. We're going to be back and we're going to talk more about collaboration and the economy. The show is Words and Pictures. I'm live in the studio with Joe Courtwright, Adrian Wallace, and Mike Russell. Will and Sam, how are things going out there in Membership Central?
It's a party back here. The phones are blowing up. So if it takes a while to get through, please keep trying.
That's right.
877-500-5266. Or you can jump the queue, as it were, and go right to kboo.fm and use a safe, convenient, easy, and secure web form to make your tax-deductible 501c3 type investment in community radio and divert those funds from the war machine of U.S. imperialism and support the arts in Portland. 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm.
That's right. My man Sam is here. He's full of enthusiasm. He's been running the phone room like a champion, like a Captain Ahab, if you will. And we are eagerly here to answer your calls, the phones we'll have here. But the dial 877-500-5266. I just get giddy when I'm working with Sam, I tells you. But you can also come into our building at 20 Southeast 8th. We're very easy to find, just off Burnside. And it's a great way to donate your money or pledge your support, because you'll be getting to find out where your money goes and how thinly we stretch those dollars and cents, because you know it makes sense, we know it makes sense, but we have to have those cents to pay these bills. And yes, PGE is not free, as we all know, thanks to shows like KBOO. But yeah, and I'm really enjoying this conversation between Conch and these great artists. It sounds like a phenomenal book, and it sounds like a book that would be very informative. And you can get that if you pick up when you pick up the phone, not if. Sorry, I forget my neurolinguistics. But it's 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-5266.
And when you call with your fully tax deductible donation of say $5 or more each month, you can pick up a copy of Clusters and Your Economy, an illustrated introduction. Or maybe you'll make it $7.50 a month and pick up Boxers and Saints by Jean Luen Yang. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Whatever you do, you can do it right now at 877-500-5266. Maybe you want some live music, $5 a month or more, right?
Yep.
Well, we can hook you up with entree to the Roseland Theater for a performance by Yasin Bey, who you might know as Mos Def, along with a local musician, Lila Damone, who's sharing the bill there. Call 877-500-5266. And whether you speak with Kim or Jeffrey or Danny or Joe, they can tell you more about how you can get that little token of thank you that KBOO gives you for your token of thank you for everything that KBOO brings you and for which you have come to rely on KBOO.
That's right. That's right. That's right. And we have that awesome hoodie, the Wicked Cool hoodie, that's available now for the first time. It's a super cool one. And then we also have the Democracy Now! T-shirts. KBOO has their own T-shirts. One of the most popular being the MediaZilla one. I'm sure you've seen them around town.
I wore mine yesterday.
I own one too, and I remember when I was a bartender, I used to work with a guy who wore the MediaZilla T-shirt, and he was always talking about KBOO, and it's a great advertisement for something you believe in. So, and you can get any of these items just by picking up the phone, dialing 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-5266. 800-500-5266.
And a bunch of your friends and neighbors have already gotten involved. They made that call. And some other of your friends and neighbors got involved in a slightly different way because that's the way that made sense for them. I'm talking about Petisco at 1411 Northeast Broadway, located in Northeast Irvington, with a rotating menu serving sandwiches, dinner, and brunch. And Biwa at 215 Southeast 9th Avenue, a Japanese izakaya, I hope I pronounced that correctly, style restaurant located at 215 Southeast 9th Avenue in inner Southeast Portland. More information at biwarestaurant.com, that's B-I-W-A, or 503-239-8830. These are restaurants. They're feeding the volunteers who are taking your calls right now at 877-500-5266. But of course, they can't take your call until you make the call.
That's right.
877-500-5266. Do it now.
Thanks, Sam and Will. Yes, we are back in the studio live. You're listening to Words and Pictures. I'm your host, S.W. Conser. And our guests today are Joe Courtwright, Mike Russell, and Adrian Wallace, the great minds behind the project, behind the Clusters and Your Economy project. So, Joe, how can people find out more about the Clusters project?
Well, you can log on to our website, which is clustercomic.com.
Yeah.
.com. Or you can go to my website, which is Impresa Consulting, I-M-P-R-E-S-A Consulting.com, all one word.
And there's quite a bit of blog posts you have about transit, for example, mm-hmm. and interactions between Portland and places around the world, ideas that are being shared, that sort of thing?
Yep, we study city and regional economies all over the United States and sometimes all over the world, and this was one of the projects that that captured a lot of that research in a form that is hopefully more accessible to most folks.
So are you hoping for more projects like this one?
This was so much fun. This is such a great collaboration, and it helped me learn more about it. I'd love to do another one like that.
I just want to, in the couple minutes we have left, I want to hear a little bit more about the artwork and sort of the inspiration behind some of the ideas that, talk about interactions, talk about collaborations. I mean, you guys really came up with some what would be called synergy in the business world.
My two favorite sections are I'd love to hear how you did this, Adrian. We took a flow chart that just like a bunch of boxes and arrows that had that summed up all the elements in California's wine industry. And I threw this horrible challenge down to Adrian, which was like, why don't you put every single one of these elements in a single splash page of comics? And you did it. He basically did a single page of comics that has every element of the wine industry. And then like up on the hill above it, a bunch of colleges where people study it all photo accurate.
Well, we had a lot of times I was working directly off of layouts that you made, Mike. So I was sort of interpreting some little doodles that you made when we did that page.
Oh, you made them much better.
We had to do a lot of research, sort of figure out what these college buildings look like and what the California State Legislature, and try to make things look authentic. But that was a really fun page. That's probably my favorite page in the book, too.
The other really challenging section, we were asked to illustrate a concept that could risk being dry, which was the life cycle of a cluster, how a thing starts, thrives, mm-hmm. and then maybe starts to decay a little bit. And we chose to do the rise and fall of Detroit in like three pages of comics. And Adrian, that was, you basically got 100 years of photo reference packed into two pages, including the future, which I enjoyed quite a bit.
There's a lot of great reference pictures of Detroit floating around. So I was really inspired to draw some old cars and some fancy buildings that they had back then.
Also then draw them again with all the windows broken out.
Oh, man, it's heartbreaking when you see what Detroit looks like now, all those buildings just falling into disrepair. Yeah, it was...
I used to stop in Detroit on my way to and fro from Toronto back in the day. And that city still has great bones and a lot of people are betting on it coming back in some way. So you wonder about how these things start, how these things end, how these things transform. Gentlemen, I have been having such a good time here. We're out of time, but can you stay around and talk to us for a few more minutes and we'll throw up some content on the web? That would be
sure.
Yeah, we could
sure.
have like
absolutely,
a little bit more material for listeners. Great. We'll put that extra audio up on the KBOO website a little bit later today for our listeners to access. The Words and Pictures archive page can be found at kboo.fm/words and pictures. So Thank you, Joe, Adrian, Mike. Thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you.
Thanks. That's my pleasure.
And thanks to all our listeners on the radio dial and at KBOO.FM. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Words and Pictures. And thanks to everybody who's called in during Words and Pictures today and started or renewed their membership with KBOO. Once again, you can still become a member and get one of our thank you gifts. Just call one of our phone volunteers right now. The toll-free number is 877-500-KBOO. I'm SW Conser. Now stay tuned for an afternoon of music on your homegrown Portland radio station.
There's a boom and bust cycle and good reason to fear it. Play low interest rates. It's the animal spirits.
John Maynard Keynes wrote the book on modern macro. The man you need when the economy's off track. Depression, recession, now your question's in session. Have a seat and I'll school you in one simple lesson. Boom, 1929, the big crash. We didn't bounce back, economy's in the trash. Persistent unemployment, the result of sticky wages. Waiting for recovery, seriously? That's outrageous. I had a real plan, any fool can understand. The advice real simple, boost aggregate demand. CIG altogether gets to Y. Keep that total growing, watch the economy fly.
We've been going back and forth for a century.
I want to steer markets.
I want them set free. There's a boom and bust cycle and good reason to fear it. Play low interest rates.
It's the animal spirit. You see, it's all about spending. Hear the register cha-ching. Circular flow, the dough is everything. So if that flow is getting low, doesn't matter the reason. We need more.
Now for the KBOO News at Noon for Thursday, October 9th, 2014. The cost of organs cased against the designers of the faulty cover organ site has passed $1 million. The state is suing Oracle America for crimes including fraud and racketeering. The parties are still in the first stage of the suit, deciding whether to hear it in state or federal court. This could mean that these expenses are just the beginning. Prior to its launch, the state spent $160 million on Cover Oregon. Upon its release, no one was able to use it to enroll for healthcare, and it was eventually closed. If Oregon does win the case, it will have to share its winnings with the federal government. Oracle has issued its own suit against the state, saying it mismanaged the project. On Monday, a Portland man won his civil case against Portland police. Jason Cox, an iron worker, was suing the department for police brutality over an incident that occurred in 2011. Police stopped Cox in a Southeast parking lot for drunk driving, hitting him multiple times and shocking him with a taser. The injuries left Cox unable to work. Police said that he was resisting arrest and that they stopped hitting him when he stopped fighting. Security cameras in the parking lot, however, showed that Cox never attacked the police and that they continued to assault him while he lay on the ground. Cox has been awarded almost $600,000. This is the most money that has ever been awarded for a brutality case against Portland police. Last night, a St. Louis police officer shot and killed an unarmed African-American teenager. An off-duty police officer was working for a private security firm when he began pursuing Von Derrett Myers Jr.